Surely God has been faithful to us, and I'm thankful for that. I would like to start this morning with a verse over in Romans 15 and 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. You know, we can take throughout the Bible, if I read about Jonah, it's not just a story, it's something that was written for my learning. If I read about the faithfulness of Abraham to God and God calling him his friend, it's written for my learning. What I have today is something else that is written for our learning that I'd like to share. It's been a challenge to me. If I were to put a title to this, it would be an antidote for the Pharisee. And here is the definition of an antidote. It's given as a remedy for. It's used to counteract the effects of poison. And I'd like for us to think about that as we go through this. Things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. So I look back at the time, you know, Jesus had a short time here to reach a lot of people. 3 years, and it's over. So his mission is to reach just as many people as possible. And I see verses like in Acts 10 and 38, Jesus went about doing good, and surely he did. Yeah. Everywhere that he could go and minister to others, he did it. It also says in Mark 6 and 34, he would see the multitude and it would do something to him. It would cause him to be moved with compassion. You remember where the disciples are saying, tell you what, it's getting late. The people are getting hungry. We need to do something about it. Send them away and get them to go, let them go take care of their needs. And Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitude. And he wanted to do something about it. He also tells us in Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me, all ye that labor. You know, that's a universal call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You know, that was for those 3 years when he was here. And it has been for the 2,000 years since. The call is still there. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Yes, amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest to your souls. That's still available for every person. Then there's a verse over in Matthew 19 and 13 showing us how much he cares about everyone. In the 19th chapter, remember there was a time when the disciples are letting him know, you know, these children are kind of a nuisance here. And it says in the 13th verse, they were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, you know, here's his compassion. Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He laid his hands on them and departed thence. How much care Jesus had for those around him, his desire for everyone. What does it say for John 3:16? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Then there's one more verse, Hebrews 13 and 8, just a little piece of it. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then we look at the story of the Pharisees. With all the compassion that Jesus had on the multitudes, and time after time we find places in the Bible where he said some of the strongest words of rebuke to the Pharisees. And it's easy for me to think of the Pharisees as being kind of like the tribe of Levi or some of the tribes, and they went wrong. You know, that wasn't the case. The Pharisees was something more than that. And in this study of the Pharisees, and I think it's just something I'd like to have open up to all of our minds, and we go home and we start looking at the verses of his dealings with the Pharisees and what was he trying to be able to work with them. And is it possible for me to have the spirit of the Pharisees today? That's my question for myself as we study this. Because the Pharisees provided lots of fuel for Jesus' ministry. Lots of teaching about what not to do in your life. And so I want to take heed with that today. I don't know of anybody that says they're a Pharisee today. Literally, we followed this teaching down. But you know what? The Spirit can be alive and well. And I want to be very much on guard for it. Because I see all the compassion that Jesus wants to give to everyone. And yet I see something so different when he dealt with the Pharisees. And I believe we see a picture of this in one verse of why it happened. And I want to be on guard in my life. Luke 18 and 9, we'll just use this verse only. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Can that happen today?
Yes.
I can trust. You know, Paul wanted to be very careful that he didn't trust in his own righteousness. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And I see a verse over in John in the 7th chapter, where sometimes the Pharisees would just come right out and say what was really down inside of them. 7:45, if you read this story, the Pharisees had sent out some officers to take Jesus and bring him in. And it says in the 45th verse, then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never a man spake like this man. You know, at that point, they could have said, can you tell us some of his teachings? We'd like to know what has influenced you so much. But what did they say? Then answered the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? You know, if you're not following the way we're going, then you're going the wrong way. 48th verse, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? As if that's supposed to make a difference. You know what? Those in leadership position, they don't believe on him, so why would you? And it says, but this people knoweth not the law, that knoweth not the law, are cursed. And now we see somebody come into the picture. Nicodemus saith to them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them. You remember Nicodemus coming to him and how Jesus almost held him off a little bit to test him. And then he was the one that told him one of the greatest verses in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So Nicodemus is going to have something to say to them. He says, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Then answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. In other words, what they're saying, are you moving this way yourself? Is something happening to you? You should be just following us. You remember in the 9th chapter of John, it tells about the blind man that Jesus healed, and there's a lot of questions about it. The Pharisees have some questions. In 9, and see, they're telling him he healed on the Sabbath day. This man's a sinner. In the 24th verse, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know this man's a sinner. You know, and this man, he doesn't know a whole lot about all that the Pharisees know, but he says, here's one thing I do know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. And you know, he's told them time after time, they asked the story. Hey, tell us again about this story. They went to the parents. The parents were so fearful of being kicked out that they said, you just need to talk to him. So you remember after about 3 times, he said, well, okay, I'll tell you again. Maybe you're about ready to believe on him. And that wasn't the way they wanted it. And it goes on down and it tells them in the 33rd, since the world began, 30 seconds, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And here they come to him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. You know, not willing to be able to look and see, you know what, Jesus just performed a miracle here. Let's check into this. Instead, our mind is, we're not going in that direction. And so what I'm interested in is what got them to be to that place. You know, one of the first places that we find the message of the gospel beginning was in Matthew 3 and 7. And it was with John the Baptist. He's got some people coming to him in 3 and the 7th verse. 6th verse, there were people coming to him, baptized of him, confessing their sins. 7th, and when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, and he said unto them, you know, almost he could see the hearts of these people. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And I looked on this in the commentary about the Pharisee. It says they were a very numerous sect among the Jews, who in their origin were probably a pure and a holy people. This word means holy persons who stand apart. By the time Jesus preached in Judea, they had only the form. Jesus bore witness that they made the outside of the cup and the platter clean. They observed the rules of their institution, but the spirit was gone. You know, we have a verse today that's a warning for us. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So what I'm really interested in is I want to understand when the Pharisees died, this spirit didn't just go away. It would like to attach itself to anyone who has a desire. I want to do things right. I want to do it right. I want to be pure and holy. And it goes to the point, you know what, the devil would be willing for me to have that desire. I want it straight. I want it pure and holy. The straighter, the better. And then drive me to the point that my works are what is saving me. My doing the right things is what's bringing salvation to me. So I want to look at a few things that Jesus said to the Pharisees. In Matthew 23, if you take the 23rd chapter, sometime just read in there how many places he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. And then he would add another word to it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And in this one, in the 23rd verse, it says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay tithe of mint, anise, cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. You know, they were doing the details of the things written in the law. But what they were omitting was judgment, mercy, and faith. Yes. Where do we see an instance when they brought somebody to Jesus and saying, our law says she needs to be killed. Yes. She needs to be stoned. You know, they were going exactly by the detail of the law with no mercy attached to it. That little story makes me think about when Jesus started writing in the sand. What was he writing? Was it because it caused all of them to walk away. So this one, it says, it doesn't say you need to just quit doing everything that the law requires. It says, these ought you to have done, but not left the other undone. And then over in the 16th chapter and in the 6th verse, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So I was looking at this. He went on down in the 12th verse. Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, they had, if you would go back, you would find they had so much detail. You remember when they would find Jesus doing anything good on the Sabbath day, they were totally against that happening. But at the same time, he attaches to them the word of a hypocrite. He also tells them in 6 and 2. He's given a lot of instruction. This is on the, in the Sermon on the Mount. 6:1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. When you do your alms, don't sound a trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But instead, let your alms be secret. He's given to the people. You know, in some places he says, what they say, do. The things that they're telling you out of the law, do those things, but don't do what they're doing because they're not following it themselves. And then it goes on down to one more verse of Luke 12:1. And he just kind of comes out clear now. You know, with Nicodemus, it wasn't his desire that, you know what, you're a Pharisee and there's no way for you to be able to have help. But you know what, he had help for Nicodemus, and he had help for all of them if they would have accepted it. In the first verse of the 12th chapter, the meantime when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Here's the commentary on that. It says, leaven passes secretly, silently, but certainly through the mass of the dough. None can see its progress. So it was with the doctrine of the Pharisees. It moved through with a religious spirit. And I think that's what I want to be very careful about, because there's a warning for me today. When I have a desire, I want to do it right, that the devil would not be able to swap that for a religious spirit. There's a verse in Matthew 5:20, a pretty serious verse. I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness, it's going to have to come on some different level than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. If it doesn't, if it stays on the same level as theirs, I'm doing all the right things, but I've lost the heart of it. Ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I was looking at the credentials that Paul had. He was a Pharisee. In Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and in the 5th verse, it says, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, I was a Pharisee. As touching the law. So what he's saying, the Pharisee, you can count on me. I was doing it exactly like it said to do it. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness that is in the law, I was blameless. So you know, there must be some more level that Jesus is wanting to have in our life than just touching the law. I was blameless. When he talked to Agrippa, he was talking about of the straitest sect he was, of the Pharisees. So careful in their life. And that's why he persecuted the church like he did. He felt like this is what is needed to be done, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But there is something that he gives us here. In Titus, the 3rd chapter, and the 3rd verse, we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But I love it that it didn't stop there. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Not by works of righteousness that we have done. So you remember the verse that we started out with? It says they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And then it gave the story of the Pharisee, Luke 18:10. What did he say? I fast twice in the week. I give of all of I possess. And I'm so thankful that I am not like other men, I'm not like this man here beside me. There's an antidote for the Pharisee spirit, and I want to be able to have it in my life. Antidote, it's given as a remedy to counteract the effects of poison. This poison that I'm wanting to talk about today is self-righteousness. It is what the devil would love to attach to any people that want to do it right. And after a while, after doing it right, my salvation is because I'm doing it right. Yeah. The first place that I need to start this antidote that will counteract the poison of self-righteousness is the verse we often use in Psalms 139, 23, and 24. It's a prayer, because you know what? For me to be able to counteract that poison that can be in my life, I'm going to have to go to the Lord and ask Him to do the searching. Yes. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I want you to do some searching here. Yes. The things that I have a desire, I want to do it right. May it be a subtopic. What is the real topic? In school before, we would have to do a report. Many of you may remember when you had to do it. There would be a main topic. And as you're going through down through there, you may find something else, some more information that can be put into it. And it goes under a subtopic. The main topic of salvation is not my ability to do right. That's not the main topic. That's a subtopic. It is very important, but it's not the main topic. You know, James let us know it's very important. He said, faith without works is dead. What does it say? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. But it comes under another heading. And it talks about in Ephesians, I think it's very important for me today in this day and time when I want to walk with a carefulness to realize what the topic is for my salvation. Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a song that we sing, no righteousness of ours can ever avail. But through the Lamb of God, we shall prevail. There's power in the blood. Everything else is going to fail. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And then in 1 Peter, First Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received, by tradition from your fathers. There was nothing that I could do to obtain salvation on my own. But here's what did it. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Another song we sing. His blood is all my plea. Nothing else will satisfy. To set the captives free and not forever die. The main topic of salvation is the blood of Christ. Everything that I do goes under that topic. All of the good works that come from it, they're a result of the blood of Christ being applied to my life. What happened with them and the spirit of the Pharisee that would like to attach it today is I have a list of rules that I follow. And if I'm following that rule, whether my heart is in it or not, is where the problem is. The blood of Christ is the most important thing. After that, works come because of the blood being applied to me. There's a verse of a song, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? Things that I could do that ought to generate God's attention. These for sin could not atone. thou must save, and thou alone. It's going to be Jesus Christ is the reason that I make heaven my home. And I want to look back at his attitude toward the Pharisees. You know, he would have loved to receive them just like he did the children. You know, he could have said, suffer to the Pharisees and forbid them not to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. It was available to them, but they were trusting in their own righteousness and did not have a need for Jesus in their life. I don't want that to happen in mine. In Matthew 5, still the Sermon on the Mount, 5:17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. And you know where he fulfilled it was in some of these places where in the 38th verse of this fifth chapter, ye have heard it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, this is a scripture being fulfilled. I say unto you that you resist not evil. Whosoever smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. 44th verse, this is the fulfillment of the law. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, Jesus came to give so much for us. It won't be by any works of righteousness on my own without the blood that will make I'll be able to make heaven. There is another verse, just a small piece, in John 19. John 19 and 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What that in it is finished is the plan of salvation is now complete. Yes. It's available for everyone. Nicodemus could receive it. Every one of the other Pharisees can receive it. Today I can receive it. What's our song? 'Tis finished, my salvation. Thine shall the glory be. No righteousness of ours can ever avail, but through the Lamb of God we shall prevail. There's power in the blood. Everything else is going to fail. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And for me to realize whenever I come to the Lord and I need to make adjustments in my life, I want to change things for the better, that I don't just make a New Year's resolution, but I come to the Lord and say, Lord, you shed your blood for me. I want that blood to work in my life. Amen. Everything comes. This is the antidote. Is it would have helped the spirit of the Pharisees. I have a song, if someone could put it on, it's Near the Cross. This is going to be the solution for every one of us to be able to defeat the enemy. To some, he wants to draw them out into sin. To some that want to be very careful and do it all just right, he would like to push me to the place where I trust in myself that I'm righteous and despise others that may not be. I'd like for us to sing this song together in closing. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. Near the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river.
I think it's going to be so important for us as we walk from day to day. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. That means I'm never getting very far from the cross. Yes. It is the reason I'm saved. Yes. It is what will help me from day to day. James brought it into perspective when he said, faith without works is dead. Yes. Works will come because the blood of Christ has been applied to my heart. I want to keep it straight in my life. I desire your prayers.